Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
All right, let's get started this morning. We've got a lot of ground to cover after the vice presidential debate. Listen, I hate to come on and say that I'm vindicated with my assessment of the presidential debate last week, but like I said, these debates are a biased political spectacle favoring Democrats. Every time there's a presidential debate, it's a Democrat Party rally intended to trap and embarrass Republicans, which is why last week, as I said, Trump behaved the way he did, and it was basically disrupt and destroy the entire process because it's biased. Listen, the presidential debates now going on for 30 years that I've been watching, they're every time it's an unwinnable proposition for Republicans. The questions themselves are completely slanted, one-sided, intended to make the Republican look like a moron and continue the Democrat talking points. And I'm going to give you examples. I'm going to walk through every question. So it brings to mind this question, should Republicans even go anymore to these debates? Now, don't get me wrong. Pence was great. But the whole spectacle last night, again, proved my point. Now, a couple observations before we look at the questions. First of all, two pieces of glass? Give me a break. They're 12 feet apart, one piece of glass in the middle, two, but why not three? How about five pieces of glass in between them? Let's put a whole cube of glass around them. It's so ridiculous. And Susan Page of USA Today, the moderator, started off by saying Americans deserve a civil discussion, a respectful exchange. By the way, that was a cheap shot at Trump. And my response is right, like Antifa rioters, because the Democrats are so much into civil discussion. They don't do civil discussion. They don't want to debate. They want to kill and destroy. Now, Harris, for her part, epitomized what I've been talking about this week with Jen Rubin from Washington Post and her response, the liberal woman to Trump's beating back COVID and tweeting about it. Harris epitomized this. A condescending, snotty, bossy woman. She was like an angry kindergarten teacher last night. No offense to kindergarten teachers. An angry one. Here's some of Harris's comments. Excuse me? Can we converse? I would like equal time. Let's do a little history lesson. I'm speaking, okay? This sassy valley girl. I would like to talk. I will not be lectured. She said that multiple times. Even raising a finger at the moderator when Harris was told she's over time. So bossy, no other word. It's the quintessential overbearing, pushy woman. Who wants that running a country? Who wants that as our president? And you saw the self-righteous, smug, sensitive woman who's just so courteous, while men are absolutely rude. My favorite comment from Harris was, I'm speaking, can we have a conversation? And I wanted to say, no, it's not a conversation, lady. It's a debate. Man up, or woman up, whatever you want to say, and deal with it. Conversation, like we're having tea. It's so unattractive as a woman, and you can't give that power. Should scowls, nasty glares, eye rolls, smirks, laughing, head shaking? All right, and here's a couple comments from her that were just zingers. You know, I learned from Joe Biden, foreign policy can be confusing, but really, it's relationships. What? Relationships? With dictators? With lunatic terrorists? No, foreign policy ultimately is an issue of warfare. That's why we need a man as president running the military as commander-in-chief. Relation, that's what we're going to elect as president or VP. Someone who's just about relationships, because that's why you need to deal with the North Korean dictator, the communist dictators in China, murderers, rogue criminals running nations. I can't take it. I'm getting excited. She said, here's another comment. Showing her sensitivity. You know, Pence brought up Trump's awesome killing of Soleimani. And she goes, after Soleimani died, and then she checks her notes to get her talking point. It was so conspicuous. You know, after Soleimani died, that was the terrorist from the leader in Iran, okay, just to get you up to speed if you don't remember that a year ago. Trump had an amazing strategic mission and killed the guy. So she goes, after Soleimani died, she checks her notes. You know, troops suffered brain injury And I'm like, what is she talking about? That's your argument? Troops suffered brain injury? That's awful. We don't want any of our troops hurt or suffering brain injury. And I'm not making light of that. Actually, she is. Why are you bringing that up as though that's some, you're politicizing that? It's warfare. It's terrible that troops suffered brain injury. That's not why you don't prosecute war. Classic female response. Okay. And then she brought up faith, and she turns and looks and goes, you know, me and Joe, we are people of faith. Give me a break. And then she, with a lot of stuttering, she kind of pauses and, you know, he's the second practicing Catholic, and my stuttering is imitating hers, ever to be elected president, and kind of smiles. I don't even think she knows what a Catholic is. And then another great one, she goes, you know, I thought of my mom at some point, I forget early on, I thought of my mom, oh, and she taught me the value of hard work. I was like, whoa, don't you know, Kamala, since you're a card-carrying liberal activist, hard work. You can't say that. That's racist. Do you guys know that? That's considered now, look it up on the internet, it's a microaggression. To say we need to pursue hard work goes against minorities who allegedly have less opportunity. You can't say hard work, merit, or merit-based, or meritocracy, or merit-based society, because that's a microaggression. It's racist. She should know better. And then she talked about peaceful protests. Peaceful. She's calling the Antifa riots peaceful protests. The same narrative about unarmed black people being shot down by police. Trump didn't condemn white privilege. And here's a question. Why do libs think that this will work? She uses all the same media talking points. The New York Times article, which was shown to be wrong, that he only paid $750 in income tax. Bob Woodward's book saying Trump hid everything about COVID. And then she said, this is their platform, by the way, that she's debating with. Again, I asked, why do they think this will work? Biden's going to raise taxes. Yeah, that's a winning proposition. Keep pushing that, and you'll definitely sort a victory on November 3rd, because all Americans want to hear that you're going to raise taxes. Go back to Obamacare. It's 8 years ago. It's a failure. Everyone knows it. Get us back in the Paris Accord. Oh, and still peddling the Russian hoax that the Russians stole the election in 2016. We're going to get back in the Iran nuclear deal. And if you go with Pence and Trump, there's going to be no more protection for you. Healthcare, 20 million people will lose it. It's all fear-mongering, the same tactics. Class warfare. And she kept pushing clean energy, renewable energy. This stuff does not win elections. Americans are sick of it. Free community college. Free public university. Cut debt by $10,000 for all student loans. These are dead philosophies. They're not winning ideas. All right, we got to talk about the trap questions, and I want to go one by one, but we're running out of time. There's so much to talk about. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. These debates are anything but impartial and fair. Come back and check out our next episode so we can talk about all of these ignorant, absurd questions lobbed at the Republican candidate.